greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, by which and in whose name every knee has to eventually, even if they don't want to, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord above all. He is the one that is just, he's over all of it. This is his thing, his kingdom. His kingdom is coming. His will is being done. This whole thing is part and parcel of his plan, purpose, and God's direction, and God's intention, and God's volition happening here on the earth as we are part of this incredible cosmic drama that is taking place here in a paradigm where light and dark coexist, where the wheat and the tares grow at the same time, where we are allowed to see the expression of free will and choice and decision, where people make and choose. And they choose, ye this day, whom they will serve. And they can choose to serve the devil and his angels and that system of the world, and in that choose their own destruction, or they can choose to follow the king and walk out and walk out of the slave system and walk into liberty and walk into freedom and walk into that which God has intended and planned and destined for those that will trust him, that will believe that he is who he said he is. He is who he has revealed himself to be, despite all the oppression that would come against us to keep us away from that truth, away from that knowledge, to try to take us in another direction and in another way. You know, the world, the second that the world realizes that you are on that path of freedom, that you are moving towards that which God has intended for you, the second that it realizes, and this, by the way, brothers and sisters, happens in the realm of the spirit. This is not something that happens on the realm of the natural, because in the natural, you know, things are, if you just looked at things on a physical level, you would not see these things. But in the realm of the spirit, things are known for what they truly are. And so in the realm of the spirit, when they can sense that this one is getting free, this one is on the way out, this one is leaving, this one is no longer part of that collective, everything in that system now starts to have to get to work, because there's nothing else going on in the parasitical world system than trying to keep and extract life out of that which is real, that which is alive. And they have to enslave the children of God, you know, the lambs, as they're also called. They have to enslave those that have life in them. They have to try to keep them in there. They have to try to seduce them into their system. They have to try to oppress them. You know, they have to try to keep them from moving forward in anything that they have. They have to try to siphon life off of them. That's the only way that they keep their thing going. And they need to get the free will engaged in people to be able to power that thing. Now, when you start leaving and you're on the way out, now their system gets activated and they've got to do anything and everything that they can to try to keep that which has life from leaving. Just like a parasite does not like to be without the host. The parasite cannot exist without the host. The parasite needs the host to live. Now, Jesus Christ is the vine. So for us, the follower of Christ, we've been grafted into him. We've been made one in him. So there's this life flowing through us because we are his. But for them, they are like branches that are broken off, and they wither and they die and they dry up and there's nothing there. So for them, the only way that they can extract or find or have any life at all is to try to siphon it from you, or to try to bring that soul in. So now there's there's different things that happen, and there's different ways that the enemy will try to interact with the child of God. And so I think it's worth taken a little time to discuss a few of these, because these are, you know, the scriptures talk about us not being ignorant of the devil's schemes in the book of Ecclesiastes, or the devil's, that word, and I'm not going to play that. Oh gosh, you guys know, you know when you've been at churches and somebody will stand up and they'd be like, oh, in the Greek, brother, you know, in the Greek, like they know a word of Greek at all. I mean, they've just picked up a Greek dictionary or read it on some reference, and now they've got to lord it over you. But anyways, I always found that comical. everybody's got to be an expert. All right, but that said, there are some interesting insights, you know, in some of these word studies. But it's just that. It's some interesting insights. And if you don't get it from that, you know, you can always, the Spirit of God can show you and reveal to you whatever He wants you to know at any given time, because God will show His people. And whenever somebody tries to lord it over you, just, you know, just leave that. Let that be where it is, because that's just the blind leading the blind. Okay, but here's something that was kind of interesting there. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. And that word, one time I was looking at that a little bit, and that's that same word where it's like methodios, or where we get the word methods. We're not ignorant of the enemies of the devil's methods. The devil has methods that he uses, and he's been using them for generations. He's been using them for very, very long periods of time. And once you've kind of gone down this road for a little bit and you've continued to persist, you start to see, because you're like, oh, wait, I've seen that play before. I've seen that attack before. I've seen that attempt before. I've seen this. you start to see it. Now, you can learn from some different ways. You can learn by, you know, study, and God can quicken that back to you. You can learn from experience, and experience can be a rough teacher sometimes. But, you know, if you persist through and you listen to the Spirit of God, He will take you through a lot, and you'll be able to reference these things, and you'll be able to know what they are much, much quicker. It's going to come back to you. Just, you want to stay close to the Spirit of God, because a lot of times if you stray, you know, the enemy's just waiting there to, you know, he wants to take you out, and you know that. Or he wants to marginalize you, or just put you in some place where nothing good can ever happen or go through. But the devil's methods, all right? So, I mean, we've talked before about some of these things. Like, for example, the world will try to it'll try to seduce you in, you know, with honey. You know, it'll try and it'll look to see, well, what is that thing in you that you really want? What is that thing in you that you are willing to exchange something that the world has, exchange for your soul? What do you want? What is it that you want? What is that desire that you have, that you've not given over unto God, that you've not put before the foot of the cross? That what is that thing that you have not, that you have not surrendered? Where is it that God is not 100% in your life? That He is not truly the Lord over all? And He will explore that within you. Now, here's the thing. Of course, every one of us, we have strengths and weaknesses, problems. We've got all kinds of things going on with us. But you still, in whatever state you're in, you can give 100% of who you are over to God. You can give all of who you are over to Him and not withhold anything. That is a way that you can live. And even in that process where there's nothing that's been withheld, excuse me, where there's nothing that's been withheld, in that process, the enemy doesn't have, he doesn't have that foothold there. Because even if he's trying to hook into you, you've still given all of yourself over to him. And there may be some areas where God is working on you, but you're still persisting. You're still going forward. You're still moving in the things of God. You're still, because you know the direction that you have set your heart on, and nothing is withheld from God. That is why the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, so that's why that's there. That's the first and the greatest commandment. Because when you give all of yourself over, there's nothing left for the enemy. Now, the enemy will still try to access you through different things, but you're still in that direction going to the Father. So the enemy will try to get at you through through seduction, you know, and seducing, just basically enticing, trying to bring you in, trying to see what do you want? What is that thing that you really, really, really want? You know, do you want... Do you want that girl? Do you want that guy? Do you want that commercial success? Do you want to be a rock star? Do you want to be a superstar? Do you want to be known? Do you want to have a perfect family? Do you want to, although a lot of times the enemy tries to break up the families, but what is it that you want? You know, is there any desire that you have in you that supersedes the Lordship of Christ Jesus? And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the first and greatest commandment. From that, there is the overflow into everything else, you know, into loving your neighbor as yourself. That overflow of His life and His love in you from that connection allows you then to move on to the next things that are important. But, and it does not preclude that God can and will and often does bless His people in a lot of areas, but it's the order of events, it's the priorities being set in the right way, and it's also being fine with whatever they are. So, you know, if you have success or you don't have success in the world, it doesn't really, it's inconsequential. What you want is you want the will of God. What you want is you want to be on track with Him. What you want is you want to be in step with Him. So the enemy will try to seduce you in. The enemy will also, if he can't seduce you in, the enemy's going to try to oppress you, is going to try to stop you, is going to try to thwart your efforts. Because now, if he can't bring you in, now he knows, okay, well, this is this loose cannon out here rolling around the deck of the Titanic, which is the sinking ship of the world, and knocking over everything and disrupting everybody else and waking people up. And so the enemy is going to try to thwart your efforts. And many times there's things that you, my brothers and sisters, work on, and by the sheer nature and the sheer fact that you are part of that, the enemy will work to try to destroy that. I've seen this before in my own life, in a lot of things that have been good things that help people, that just make a difference, and many times even places where there is no benefit to myself, but it was helping people. But it's the nature of the fact that something connected to the Spirit of God is on that, and it's connected to a child of God, and many times the enemy will try to break those things up, to stop those, to thwart those. And the enemy will work to through human agents, and these are human persons that are not given over to God. These are human persons that are have these open doors in them that the demonic forces can jump in and out of, or sometimes even completely surrendered over to the enemy for his purposes. And just like, you know, the child of God will give himself 100% over to God and be led by the Spirit, there is the counterfeit, which are those that have given themselves over to demonic entities, to the devil himself, to that kingdom, in exchange for power, position, whatever it may be. And in doing so, they have to obey that structure and that hierarchy. And in doing that, hey, listen, the only game in town is Christ Jesus. So their whole then frame of mind is now targeted against the child of God. So they have to now carry out these things and these instructions. And that's where the devil then says, all right, well, here's your assignment. You need to go after this guy or this guy's thing or whatever it is that this person's building up. And they will jump in and out of people along the way to try to oppress, and they will manifest demonic spirits in people where they, you know, so there's the all out given over human agents, and then those that are just, you know, just have these open doors where they can just jump in and out of. So, and then there's also just the spirits that are assigned from that dark side to follow you. You know, and I've referenced over the years the Bishop Kanko interviews that we reposted on Faith Mix, that Zeph did those ones originally. Highly recommend that you guys listen to those, because there's a lot in there. You know, Bishop Kanko was a witch doctor from Ghana, fourth generation witch doctor. God saved him and brought him out of that, and then had him expose and reveal so many things of how the demonic forces work on that side. And he worked, you know, with very high-ranking demonic forces over, you know, courses of many, many, many years, and was in line for a succession to take up, you know, that family position that was there in the realm of the spirit, in the demonic side, and God brought him out and wanted him to expose and to help people to understand, again, the devil's methods, the methods of the enemy. So there's a lot in there. And one thing that he does mention is that when somebody is awakened to the spirit of Christ, when you as it were, when God quickens you and you come to he reveals himself unto you and you now are, you know, in old Pentecostal terms, you're saved. Well, when you are lit ablaze by the Spirit of God, in those initial points, the devil just backs off for a little bit because you're on fire. You're just ready to follow Christ wherever you go, and you're hot, and it's too much for a lot of these things. But what they do is they keep tabs and they watch you from a distance and they try to wait until you cool down a bit. And then they start trying to come back, you know, and they start trying to circle around you. They start watching you. They start surveilling you. They start looking at your patterns. They start looking. They want to start trying to bring things back in, and they want to because they want to bring you back. And there's demonic entities that have been assigned to every child of God on the face of the earth, and they'll do what they're assigned to do, is to track, is to follow, is to hinder, is to report back to that spiritual structure. These are just normal things in any warfare that takes place. So this is part of what you are up against. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, you are not without defense. You are not without offense. You are not without weapons of your warfare. The weapons of your warfare are powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. God has angelic forces. In fact, there's more on our side than there is on their side. But oftentimes, what happens is the child of God never uses the weapons of his warfare. He never engages in the things that God has given to him. And this, by design, from what the enemy has been wearing in a psychological warfare against the children of God many, 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 many times, through the churches themselves, has been to make you and to affect your mind so that you don't use the things that God has given you, so that you don't exercise the weapons of your warfare, so that you don't pray and pray down these things and pray down these strongholds, so that you don't ask God for the spiritual help that he could and would send. You have not because you ask not, right? That's what the scriptures say. So you don't ask him for that which is there to be freely given unto you. What did Jesus say when he was in the garden? Don't you know that if right now I would ask the Father and he would send me 12 legions of angels, but then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? Jesus was in the middle of a difficult window, and he had the option, if he wanted to ask God for 12,000 angels that would have come right then and just whisked him out of that situation. But he said, but how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? Now, Jesus was nobody's victim, all right? He knew he was here on an assignment. So but now, that was Jesus' road. That was what Jesus' assignment was. But he also knew what he had access to the whole time. And you, my brothers and sisters, have access. You, my brothers and sisters, have weapons of spiritual warfare. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got the entire armor of God that is there in Ephesians 6. Got to go read that. Realize the things that are there for you to help you in the warfare of what you're facing. You have angelic powers that God is made available, and they're waiting. You know, now you just ask God for that help and that support, and God dispatches those to help you. Why not? You know, there's a warfare going on in the realm of the spirit that is powerful, and you are not just a fish in the barrel. You are not a target just sitting there waiting to be picked off. No, you, my brother and sister, you are God's ambassadors in the earth. You have an angelic guard around you. You have the power of the Spirit of the living God flowing through you. You are eyes and ears on the ground in the middle of an incredible cosmic clash, reporting back to the very throne of God of that which you see and hear as a witness and as a testament and a testimony of both God's greatness, God's goodness, God's plan and purpose being manifest in the earth, and also that which is going on, that which happens with your own presence being here. How do people respond to that which God is doing in and through you? How do people respond to the way that God is revealing himself in the earth? Do people listen? Do they heed? You know, I've noticed there's a lot of people, they just that because of the decision and the choice that they've made and the direction that they've chosen to go, they will just shoot at you for no reason. For no reason. You're kind to them, you're helpful to them, you do things to try to bless and enrich their lives in different ways, and yet they turn around and your good is evil spoken of. You know, there's a scripture that talks about if you reward evil for good, that evil will never leave your household. I believe that's in the book of Proverbs. And you know, this it's true. You know, if somebody is just doing good to you, and they're just doing a good turn to you whenever they get the chance, and then you turn around and you reward that person for the good that they've done, you reward them with evil. You hurt them. You punish them. You do something bad to them. Well, that leaves a spiritual residue on you. That leaves a spiritual impact, and you reap what you sow. You know, whether and whatever tradition you come from, if you think of karma, if you think of, you know, scripturally reaping what you sow, you know, putting things in the ground and the harvest comes back, whatever spiritual background or discipline, there's a cosmic law in place. There is a cosmic injustice that has been done. And the only thing that is sufficient to ever intercede in something like that is the blood of Christ. And without that intervention of that which it trumps it all and that which is over it all, which is the power of the blood of Christ and his ability to intervene in that situation, well, you can expect something. You can expect some blowback. So you can expect, and I've seen it. I've, in fact, in these last couple of weeks, I've had people write me. Had people write me, a lot of people write unsolicited, by the way. A lot of people try to get in contact with me without, without me reaching out. I can't, brothers and sisters, for those of you that have written in, we love to hear from you, by the way. I apologize that I can't get back to everybody that does write in. We do read. You know, we do read this stuff with a filter, in spiritual filter on, of course, you know, but we do read the things that come in for the most part. But it's just, it's a lot for us to try to keep up and to get back to people. But hopefully, the Spirit of God quickens us to get back to you the right way in these broadcasts as they go out. So just a little side note there, but thank you though for those of you that do write in. Thank you though for those of you that keep up and also for the encouraging, notes that come in here and there, and for the ways that God is working through all of this as we are all journeying and processing and moving forward in the things of God in this time in the earth. But back on this subject, when people reward good with evil, it leaves a spiritual residue that has to be eventually just there's balance that needs to be restored. Just like if you toss a big boulder inside of a lake and the surface of the water gets disrupted, well, it's going to eventually come back into that balance. It's going to eventually right that wrong. It's going to eventually come back to this natural state. So when, you know, good has been sown and evil has been what the harvest has been brought back to that soul, there's something that now has been put out of place in the realm of the spirit, and that needs to be made right. And universal cosmic forces begin to go at work to make that right. So for the person that has reaped evil for good, what happens is now there's that harvest. There is, listen, you're going to reap what you sow. So for those of you, my brothers and sisters, that have persisted in doing good, and scriptures have talked about this, you know that there is a harvest that is there for you. Some of it you'll see in this life, yes. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of these things even in these days. You're going to see good's going to come back to you somehow, some way, because God is going to orchestrate that for your own life. So there's that. You know, and then there is, of course, the eternal side of this whole thing, too, is that your treasure is not stored here in earth, but it's been stored in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. You've been moving into this and transitioning into what God intends for you. But listen, it's not all just there, all right? We're also here in a natural paradigm, because God is doing something in this paradigm. And that is also part of our own experience, too. This is a place where some things are played out. On the flip side, for those that have responded with evil for the good that you have done unto them, well, there is stuff that comes back. And listen, it is a... it is a cosmic thing that moves. And because evil has been sown in response for good, well, now evil needs to be harvested. And usually what happens is that is what comes back into those people's lives. And it may not come back right away, or sometimes it does, but it does come back. And it's a terrifying thing when it comes back. Because then, in many of those cases, people, they are upset or they're angry. And, you know, what do you expect? Listen, the only place where these cycles can stop and end is in Christ Jesus. Because when Jesus was on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he's a full stop right there. That's it. That's the ending point. That's the only place... where these things can stop and have an end is in Christ Jesus, is on that cross. That's the only place where things can go to truly, spiritually die. You know, things were put to death on that cross. Death and sin and hell and all those things, they've found their finish and their end on that cross. And these cycles end on that cross. So the only place that you will ever find an end to these ridiculous and ongoing cycles that are cosmic and universal laws, by the way, which you will not overturn by your power of positive thinking. It's not going to happen that way. It's only going to happen in Christ Jesus. That is the only place that these things stop or ever have an end, is at that cross, in Christ Jesus. Period. Period. That's the only way. You're not going to find it any other way. You need to know that. So that's where, you know, to put a stop and put an end to these things, you have to go there. Now, from an extension from that, then says, okay, but now, in order to put it at the foot of that cross, you got to bow your knee. You have to bow before that cross. And then that, from that place, that is now submitting to the lordship of Christ Jesus. So when you get up off that ground, now he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's leading and guiding you out and through. He's the one that's going to instruct you. He's the one that is going to command you. Go this way, go that way, do this, do that. You need to, and that's going to be that path of freedom. That's going to be that path of release. That's going to be the place where a new destiny is possible. It wasn't ever possible before that. So even as the enemy will come in to try to oppress and come in and to try to keep you from moving forward in the things of God, that's going, you know, you're going to face these things, brothers and sisters. You're going to face these things. You know, I've in the last week, you know, it's just come out of the blue, different spots, completely unsolicited. And you know, as time has gone on, I've gotten more aware, I guess. And maybe I think I'm a little bit more feisty these days in dealing with some of these things, where you know, before, I think, you know, I would see things in the realm of the spirit, but then I wouldn't say or let on as much as what I knew. And I think more recently, I don't know, maybe it's just because the times are shifting or changing or whatever, but I just start calling things out a little bit more. Oh boy, I tell you, that freaks out the worlders. When they know that they're seen, you know, and I've, you know, that's the thing. The enemy needs to operate in the darkness. He needs to operate behind the scenes. He needs to operate in the absence of light. And when light comes in and exposes, right there, instantly, just like that, half his power is gone right away when the light's turned on. Right away. You know, that exposure without anything else happening, that just strips the enemy of just pulls the legs out from under him right there. And then, you know, once things are exposed, now you move forward. And you move forward in the realm of the spirit for the takedown, for the kill, you know, for that destruction of that demonic monster that's there. And that which is working through those people. Because they're many times, you know, they are beholden to just demonic things that are using them. You know, had a incident recently with kind of, it was a junior witch. I would call her that. You know, somebody that is young and is thinks that she's kind of figured out where, you know, oh, here's where the power is and all this other stuff, and not realizing even that the thing that was working inside of her, she thinks that she's, you know, calling the shots and moving certain powers around, but it's really something working through her. And she doesn't realize how deep that bondage is already going in her own life. And yeah, you know, just had a, you know, an encounter with that a few days back. And it was funny because, I mean, you know, brothers and sisters, you know when you're encountering this stuff. And I think, you know, one thing that God had me do in that particular situation, because it was, you know, a little bit of a power encounter, and God will quicken you. And so I think, you know, in that situation, God just was like, all right, you know, here's what we're going to do. And boy, the Spirit of God just gave me so much just detail about this person and this person's life, just to the core of who they were, and freak them out, you know, because they're seen, they're known. And then, you know, the close of that entire interaction before this person went running for the hills was, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the power. Jesus is the one above it all. Jesus Christ is, oh my gosh, you know, there is, that is the name that is above it all. There's, when Jesus, when that name of Jesus is uttered, and you are in Christ Jesus when you speak that name, because that is also a spiritual position, because in him you live and move and have your being. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So that's a spiritual position where you've been grafted into that name. You're in the vine. When you pray in Jesus' name, every demon has to move, bow, get out. They can't, they hate it, but they have no choice, because there's a power that trumps them. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. He said, listen, I've the power's mine. The lordship is his. And even if they hate that spiritual king that is above it all, they still have to go. They still have to bow. They still have to acknowledge. They still have to recognize that which is real and that which is true. So even though the devil may have his little tiny things that they like to just try to move around and fascinated with, these little trinkets and little games that they want to play and ways that they entice in these just people that are foolish. When the true power encounters happen, when you get the Elijah on the Mount Carmel up against the prophets of Baal and Asher, oh, it's on. And listen, brothers and sisters, they may have 850 priests on that hill, but one plus God is always the majority. One plus God always wins. One plus God. You give me a man or a woman that believes who God is, knows the one that they serve, and is willing to step out, you are going to walk onto that battlefield just like David did. You can be 16 years old with a slingshot and you're coming home with the devil's head. Do you understand? One plus God is always in the majority. One plus God always walks out with the victory. Now, here's something else you got to also understand. This is where we got to get we have to deprogram from the lies of the church systems that have just been destroying people. listen, Jesus Christ was nobody's victim. When Jesus Christ came into this world, when he went to the cross, he was nobody's victim. He said, listen, I lay down my life of my own accord only to take it back up again. The Father has given me this power. I'm using this. It is my choice to do this. And he prayed. And it was a struggle. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. And yes, he went through and he, you know, went through the most horrible thing that they could come up with against him. And all of that was there. But it was his choice, his will. His will, the Father's will was done. And he surrendered himself unto that. And he embraced that, did not shy away from it, did not even take painkillers when they were offered to him, that wine mixed with gall that was offered to him. And he took it all. Refused to give back one little bit of it. He absorbed the sins of the world and put them all to death on that cross. He absorbed all of it and he paid for everything in full in that place so that you and I can go forward in that freedom that we have in him. All of it was put to death in the cross. And the life that we now live is the new life we have in the resurrection life of Christ Jesus. Because death and hell could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Nothing in this world could hold him. Nothing in the spirit realm could hold him. Freedom. For freedom, he came to set the captives free. It is for freedom that he set us free. God loves us and he set us free in him. So now when you start moving forward in that freedom in him, the enemy is going to send his assignments to try to keep you from doing that, to try to keep you from moving forward in the things that you see God doing. Because Jesus said, look, I only speak the words I hear my Father speaking. But Jesus also said, look, I only do the works that I see my Father doing. So when you start living and acting like Christ Jesus, when you start being an extension of that vine in the earth, and you do the things that you see the Father doing, you speak the words that you hear Jesus Christ speaking, now what do? They start sending all their parasites your way, because they want to try to suck the life out of you. And if they can't suck the life out of you, they want to hinder you. And so they're going to start sending things your way. But listen, brothers and sisters, once you're aware of what those things are, just nip them in the bud and move on. Listen, the world wants to siphon you off, but God would have for you to be poured out. And the difference is the world wants to suck that sweet life power that's inside of you, and they want to just like a parasite, a spiritual parasite, spiritual vampire. That's where they're at. And they're looking for those access points. No, you don't get that. You don't get that. Worlders, you don't get that. That is not for you. You're not going to find that here. All you're going to get, you're going to get a dose that you're going to be reeling from. You might not recover from. Because we're in a different time right now. Or they want to try to hinder. They want to try to restrict. They want to try to keep you. But listen, brothers and sisters, when you burn hot, you're hot potato. They can't. When you burn hot and you are just on track with God, what are they going to do? They touch you and they get burned. They come close and they get burned. That fire of God burns hot. They can't handle that. So you move forward in the things of God. Things change. Things move forward. You move forward in the plan and purpose of God. You know what? Whatever it is that's going on in the world, it is what it is. Whatever it is that God's assignment is for you, that's what you do. And you do it with a grateful heart because He's leading and guiding you. You do your part. And you know that He's going to take care of the things that are necessary. So Matthew 6 talks about, again, back to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's going to take care of your needs. Things that you need, God will take care of. If you need it, it's going to be there. You know, that's something that God told me early on when I was starting out and trusting Him, following this walk. And one thing that God said to me is He said, look, I will give you the need when it's needed. That was a powerful promise, and I needed that. I needed to know that early on. Because there's a lot of times that if I just looked at the situation on a natural level, and it would have been like, okay, how are we going to do this, Lord? Or how are we going to go forward in this thing? And God would just very clearly, I'll give you the need when it's needed. Listen, brothers and sisters, you don't need manna from heaven if you're living in Egypt. You need manna from heaven when you're in the wilderness. You know, they could have had it for a couple of weeks. They ended up having to have it for 40 years, but that's when they needed it. And as soon as they crossed into the promised land, where the scriptures say, the manna stopped coming from heaven. That moment, when they started moving in and they started eating from the land, then God stopped the manna because they didn't need it anymore. When you are following God, if you follow Him, He's going to give you the need when it's needed. What you need will be there. The Spirit goes ahead of you. His glory is your rear guard. The angel, I will send an angel ahead of you. He's going to, Exodus 23. You know, I'm going to send an angel ahead of you. So God is sending His angels ahead of you. He's preparing a way. We do this whole thing. It's a spiritual alliance that we're in the middle of. We are a part of a body of Christ moving and flowing in the earth. This is an exciting, incredible time. And as you pray, as you trust God, as you look to Him, you're tapping into that. You're moving in that. You're realizing who you are. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can pray and things will change. You can move and God is moving with and through you. I mean, if you've been encouraged at all with the things that you've heard or seen with Faith Mix and you know, with other brothers and sisters that are out there that you know, we know of that are like Zeph and Trish or like Kanita or like Brother Thomas or other ones that are there, you know, we're just people that follow God. This is just part of what God had for us to do. And as we've done it, it's had the impact that God would have, but we had to start. You know, we had to start. We had to move with it. We had to just do that piece. We had to do the part that God had for us to do, and the rest would happen on the way. You know what? I'm amazed at the way that God has, with some of the early instructions that He gave us with Faith Mix, because I'm amazed at how He did it. Because we could have structured it several different ways, but you know, even part of the design was also because of part of the call, because of other things that God has for me to do, for example, where I will travel and all of a sudden I will just be in a totally different place. But we've always been able to keep up like this for this window of time. So this has been able to be something that's been consistent, even though the life that I've lived has been very, very varied. And, you know, in a world sense, has not been something that's been, you know, not been something that's been traditional or consistent or the norm. Because God will send us and move us where He wants us to be. But this has been a great way. I mean, I have, God has had me speak to you guys from, you know, disaster zones like in the middle of Haiti, and you know, driving around in a 4x4 in Sri Lanka, and you guys, oh, you remember the old drive times. I mean, how many of those were just windows of opportunity in between where I just was traveling for, you know, a half hour between places, and God would give a word in that. Now, if you saw the natural environment I was in, you wonder how anybody could even talk, but the Spirit of God would take over and speak through, because God just did it like that, because this was His way, His method. And I've enjoyed being part of this. There's a fulfillment, brothers and sisters, that come when you do the things that God has for you to do. And in that expression of your gifts, in that expression of, and that needs to be set before God. You know, when God had Moses throw down that rod at his at the burning bush, and that thing was quickened and empowered by His Spirit, and it was from then on known as the rod of God, the staff of God, as Moses would go forward from there, God will quicken and empower and bless the gifts that are in you as you lay them down at His feet. God will use those things that's in you, and they will be laced by His Spirit, and they will have incredible impacts in this life and in this world as you do the things that God has for you to do. But it has to be laid at His feet, and you got to give all of yourself over to Him. You can't withhold anything from Him. You can't hold back any part of yourself from Him. So the devil is going to send his workers and his minions towards you, and they're going to try to find access points. So this is where, too, you know, a lot of times they're going to try to come in with flattery. You know, you've seen this enough, right? You know, oftentimes it will begin with a compliment, and it goes from there. You know, because why? Because when people give a compliment, now you let down your guard. You know, now you're, oh, okay, all right, no, just listen, whatever it is, compliment or an insult, doesn't matter, either, just let that stuff, just both of them, let them be the same. You know, you look for the Spirit, you look for the Spirit behind things. You understand that there is, that the enemy is always working to try to bring in deception, to try to sow in leaven, to try to, in the middle of the night, sow weeds into that field. The enemy is always looking to try to do that. Always looking to try to bring thoughts into your mind that are anti-Christ, just like He did with Eve. Did God really say? He wants to bring that doubt into your mind, bring that confusion into your head, get you to mull that thing around, to get you to doubt God's goodness, to get you to doubt God's power, to get you to doubt that which God intended for you, to get you to doubt God's prophetic destiny over your life, and stop that in the name of Jesus. You put your shoulders back, you look straight in that devil's face, and just like Jesus said when He was being tempted in Luke chapter 4, get behind me, Satan. You say, you know, the scriptures say, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. You know what the Word says. You know what the promises and the plan of God is for your life. And whether it comes through even well-intentioned people like Peter, you know, trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross and saying, well, God, you know, let this never happen. Intending and meaning well. Or whether it comes through straight up demonic onslaught. You know what God said. The Spirit of God quickens you, and you will persist. If you need to go at it alone, fine, go at it alone, because you're never alone, because Jesus Christ promised. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the very end of the age. You might feel alone sometimes, like Elijah did, and he's just like, God, they've killed all your prophets, I'm the only one left. Always know that you're not alone, because God's got a remnant. Elijah knew on a practical level that he was not alone, because he had already bore witness to the fact that 100 had been... had been hidden by the king's aid. He had already known that. And God told him, look, I've already reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed their knee. So God had made that provision. But you will sometimes feel alone. And it can feel like that sometimes. But you're not alone. You're not alone. Fight the good fight. Put your shoulders back. Pick your head up. Know that you are son or daughter of the Most High Living God. That you are spiritual royalty in the earth. You are ambassadors of the Living God, testifying of the truth. Here on assignment, given by God Himself, came into this life at such a time as this for God's purposes and plans. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Are you not excited about that? Look, yes, it's not an easy assignment, but God also gave it to you because you were up for it. You know, there's a reason that we accepted this. There's a reason that we came into this. You've been marked for Him. There are real dangers in this whole thing, but you've also been given everything that you need to overcome. You've been given everything that you need to overcome. The only way that you're going to overcome is remain in Him, and His words remain in you. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. He's going to lead and guide you through. And as the devil continues to send his little henchmen around to try to access, listen, just when they're revealed and when they're exposed, deal with them in the realm of the Spirit. That's another thing too. I think so often what we've done, this is back to false church programming, is people for the desire to want to be loving, which is false actually by the way that they try to express it, is they've just allowed parasites just to sort of hang on, ticks just to sort of stay, and just to suck the blood out of you because you wouldn't want to upset their feelings. No, brothers and sisters. I mean, listen, Peter dealt with Ananias and Sapphira pretty harshly. You know, the Spirit of God came on him and exposed and revealed the deception that they were trying to do. And the consequence for not having done that would have been that they would have crept in more and more and more. They wanted to. They wanted to access. Because from the start, as soon as the body of Christ was moving forward, the devil put his people on assignment. And he was trying to bring his people, as in unaware. Paul knew this was going to happen. He spoke about it in Acts 20. It ended up happening in Jude, in the book of Jude. It had happened. And the overt physical structure had been infiltrated. And I've seen it, brothers and sisters. I've seen it all over the world. I've seen it all over the world as I've traveled and I know brothers and sisters in Christ and they love God and they've gone out there and they've started ministries and I've seen the infiltration of the enemy into those places and the destruction of those structures and how the devil will always try to come in and seek inroads through natural things. And then when the time is right, just like Judas, they're ready to betray. You know, just ready to stab you in the back, waiting for that opportunity. The moment that you need that help, and that's the point that the devil's waiting to just put the thumbscrews on you, stab you in the back, watch you bleed out. Yeah, that's how the enemy rolls. But at the same time, God is quickening you. Because that is not your destiny. That is not God's intention for you. That's not God's intention for you. There is a set of people that are overcomers in this life. There are a set of people that have the victory and walk in that victory. There are a set of people that know the things that God has intended and destined for them, and they move in that in this life. My prayer, brothers and sisters, for you is that you be those people. My prayer, my encouragement for you is that this is your reality and your spiritual destiny that you walk in. My hope and my prayer, my desire for you is that you would raise up into the things of God and know and trust and move in what God intends for you. Nothing less. Listen, you're going to also occasionally have those times where the devil's just going to throw every monkey wrench he can think of at you for a window. Dear brother in Christ really was going through a few days ago, and just every time, you know, he turned around and, you know, something wasn't working, something electronic wasn't working, something mechanical wasn't working, just an entire day of just, you know, gremlins. And that can happen too. In those times, stop, pray, reset, put it before God, and ask God just to give clarification and understand. Sometimes these things will be sent as attacks against you from the enemy just to try to thwart. But, you know, that's going to be part of it. And we're in a war. You know, we're in a war. So, you know, and that war goes both ways. Boy, I tell you, the children of God right now in the earth, your existence here and you carrying out the things that God has for you to carry out, you are causing colossal damage to the world and the world system. Colossal damage. You know, I mean, so my brother Zeph and I, when we get together, on the 20th of every month, and we pray and we petition, and all you guys join us, and we're praying for the end of human trafficking and modern day slavery for 20 on 20. You just look back over the last year. Just go back through historical record when we started praying like that. I believe, yeah, I mean, it was a year ago, you know, around this time. And look at the things that have happened in the natural from that point forward. From that point forward, that response to the prayers of the children of God and all the things that have been exposed and revealed and uncovered, and that system that's just going into upheaval. And we're not done praying because the system's not broken. The system's not done. We're going to continue to come back and continue to petition God through the end of 2020. That's our prayer. We're trusting. We know the one that is above it all, and the upheaval that is possible. We know that system can be broken up, and we're bringing that before the Father. Why not? Why not? Why not? So God can create all the universes and all the constellations and all the planets, but He can't deal with something as small as that, as a slave system on this tiny speck of dust in the middle of the universe? Come on, brothers and sisters. He can do anything. And when He decides to move, we want to move with Him. So we are responding to the quickening of the Spirit of God. And as we're responding and as we're praying, we're also seeing God's hand and God's move. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't work like people work. So that's why you want to flow with Him. You know, I mean, we talked about certain things about even just the wave and what's happening with that and the spiritual wave that's taking place and that wave of light that is coming in. And one part of that wave is things need to, as the huge wave draws back, and you can go and just look online and see some things about, you know, tsunamis and how those things have happened. Well, what does it do? It reveals that which is underneath. It exposes before because it's drawing it all back. It's pulling back that water curtain that was there and revealing what was under the surface. And we've been in these times. We've been in these times where now we're seeing things. Things are being exposed and revealed for what they are. That is part of it. That's part of it before what comes back in, before that wave comes in. So the what's under the surface is revealed and exposed before. So we're right in line with what's happening right now. You know, does that make us something special? All it makes us is some people that are just seeking to flow with what God's doing. And all we do is we just speak it as God shows it to us. That's it. Done. Not a big deal. You know, everything that's come before is an illusion. All that's happened before is done. So let it be that. This is the moment you have right now. He is I am. Trust Him. Worship Him. Call on His name. He's going to be there for you. He is there for you. He's always been there for you. Reach out to Him in the middle of whatever it is that you're struggling with. Know that you are not alone in this by any means. And God's plan and purpose and destiny for you is going to be brought to fruition. You are going to be that living example of the plan and purpose of God manifest in the earth. In Jesus' name. All right, let's pray. Father God, just want to say thank you again for this day. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there that are listening to this message. Father, I pray your blessing over all of our lives. I pray, Lord God, your strength over all of our lives. I pray, Father God, your direction, your peace that passes all understanding over all of our lives. I pray, Lord God, for those that are listening in that are on the other side, on the enemy's side. I pray that for those that you would quicken and those that you would draw, even as you drew Saul who became Paul. I pray, Father God, that you would turn the hearts, Lord God, and that you would save those, Lord God, that are even assigned in by the enemy to try to watch and monitor the human agents and those that are on that side. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them unto yourself, Father. Even as good seed is sown unto them, Lord, that they would return with a harvest. Bring them unto yourself, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, this day, Lord, I pray your will be done. I pray, Father God, for strength in our bodies, strength in our minds, strength, Lord God, in our spirits and our entire beings, Lord, to do the will of the Father, to follow you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for vigor. I pray, Lord God, for vitality and strength in each and every person. I pray, Lord God, for health and healing for those that need health and healing right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. I pray, Lord God, for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Lord, we ask for it, Lord God, because we need it that comes from you, Lord, so that we can also walk out and walk through and do your will and please you and walk in that which you intend. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just love you. We trust you. We commit each other, Lord God, into your hands right now, and we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. All right. Talk to you another time soon. God bless you. Bye.